All righty, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. You know, this is a letter written to the church in Philippi that is really focusing on thanks. And as we get ready for Thanksgiving, amen?
Amen.
I figured we could use a little thanks. Can I get a witness? Amen. All righty. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to pray for Natty. We're going to get into the Word. Amen? Bible says, Philippians chapter 1, first 8 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this. Grab onto this, folks, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness on that part? It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy in this place today. Lord, I thank you that you are with us in this room. Lord, I pray special anointing, comfort, just to be able to interpret these words into Spanish for Natty, that you would go before us in this venture, Lord, that we would know that you are right here with us. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You get to see children, man, in here, little babies in here. We got baby carts around. Man, it is just nice. Good to see all. We got some fishermen in the house. They're going fishing today. Hopefully more than fishing, going catching today. Fishing is fun. Catching is much better. Amen?
Amen.
The title of today's message is Target in Sight. And Target, you know, kind of assumes purpose, assumes direction, assumes a need. And there is a need in Philippi. There is a need for in all of our lives. And there's need in the church. Can I get a witness on that? George had expressed a need for ice. We run the after-school program. For 1 year, he has been going to McDonald's to get ice. And he basically conveyed to me that I'm done going to McDonald's to get ice. And so last week, many of you remember that my daughter came, or if you don't, she was here, and she drove 5 hours to... So my daughter, who goes to school in the same place my son does, in Costa Mesa near Irvine, drove 5 hours to go pick up this fabulous ice maker in Simi Valley. And it was with great anticipation and expectation that George and the kitchen would have ice for the program. We had a Target. Message title today is Target in Sight. Paul is writing this message to the church in Philippi. And he has a target for them as well, that there would be an abundance, there would be an abounding amount of love in their lives as they are transformed by the message of the gospel. I have a map up here. It shows you where Philippi is. And that on the right, that big old chunk of ground under the words there, early church, that is Turkey. And if you see that circle, that is like on the upper edge of Greece. And Philippi was indeed the first church, the first step of the gospel into Europe. Paul was busy. Paul was sold out for the gospel. That shows his second missionary journey, how he would just go and he would be preaching the gospel, that the Lord had met him on the road to Damascus. You can read that about that in Acts chapter 6. God had poured into him. And what is incredible is that we have this letter, and Paul is talking about joy and thanks and love and the abundance of love, and he writes this letter from prison. He was in prison from 59 to 61 A.D. And while he was in prison in Rome, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He is celebrating the work and the life of the Lord. The Lord has put into him, and the Lord comes out of him. And that's a target for us today. That as we celebrate the crucifixion of Christ, as was so well done by Pastor Scott at the Lord's table, as we remember his sacrifice for us, his sacrifice in us, and his sacrifice through us. Amen? Because Christ comes in and Christ goes out. Can I get a witness on that? And that's the target. There is a purpose for Christ's sacrifice in our lives, that we would be transformed. Yes, technical difficulties, I am sorry. Here we go. Rock the house. There we go. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. This is my prayer. Paul is praying for the church in Philippi that your love may abound. Would you say abound with me? That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. We got to make a good thing better. He's going to complete the work that he started in you. That means that you are not done yet. Can I get a witness on that? If you're not done yet, that means there's more to go. And Paul is praying for that work to be done. Talk about that your love. That is, many of you know, very famous Greek word agape. Speaks of a sacrificial love. This is a word that was grabbed onto by the church, that was a little used word, but the love that Christ spoke of, this sacrificial love, was so foreign to this culture that they had to take a word and twist it and impregnate it with new meaning and new value. So we have this word agape, sacrificial love. Closest thing is your mother's love. You know, your mom, you know, and you're eating all that food, you know, and you got that funky old piece of broccoli or something like that. And your mom just grabbed that thing. That's a mother's love, sacrificial love. God says that he wants, Paul says, that your love might go deeper, might be developed, might be fine-tuned. Roki, we shared this a week or two back. You know, he's going to buy that bed for his wife. And he had messed up and bought the frame, you know. And we're talking. I'm going, go buy that mattress, man. That would be a big old surprise. And he's shaking his head. Yeah, we're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just going to work, and it's going to be so good. Take the boys out. Come back. Victory. And I share it with Lisa, and she looks at me like, are you crazy? Have you no clue? And I'm looking at her like, no. I need some depth of insight here. I need some knowledge. And Dixon Roki, stop, no, no. And he got some insight, and he got some wisdom. And I have not heard all back, but bed is coming from Amazon. It's good? Did it get here yet? Uh-oh, there could be more there. We're just going to move right on. Paul is talking about going from what is good to going from what is best. Amen? See, and what is the problem is that we get the infusion of Christ in us, and this love begins to just kind of gush out. And the problem is it gushes out. It's like an inch deep. And we're gushing, and we got, oh, this is new life. Yeah. And Paul's going, hey, let's go deeper than an inch. And if you're going to get deeper than an inch, you're going to need some knowledge. And you're going to need some insight on how to take this gush and have it make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. Changes inside are seen outside. Changes inside are seen outside. He's saying he wants this change so that you might be able to discern what is best and might be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That day is coming. Amen? And that the Lord would hold you and the Lord would come back and that you would be held by wisdom, by love, by knowledge, by depth of insight until he comes back. And when he comes back, that there's going to be a celebration. Oh, yeah. I'm your boy, Jesus. I'm your girl, Jesus. Remember that map I showed of Paul, man? He's going all over Turkey. He's going all over Europe. He is down for the Lord. And he's writing to the church in Philippi that you might be down for the Lord. So that when he comes back, there's going to be rejoicing and celebrating. He's saying, I have seen it in you guys. And I'm praying that you can get some more. Amen? Amen? There is a transformation that comes in our lives, an internal transformation. The Holy Spirit comes in. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Holy Spirit comes in. You love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All kinds of good stuff happens. And he says, man, there's that internal change. It's going to be manifested on the outside. You will be able to see it. People will go, whoa, what's up with Aaron? You know what? Aaron had crutches last week. I saw Aaron yesterday, and he's like hobbling. Got gout. Praying for him. We put him on the prayer list for the youth class. And today, he's walking. Maybe he's not walking like this, but he's not limping. And you know what? Look at him. Hey, you're looking good. That same transformation should be seen in you. Hey, you're looking good. Why? Because Jesus comes in and Jesus comes out. People see it. People see the transformation in you. People see that new life in you. Paul says, hey, I'm in prison, man. This is working out. I am preaching to the prison guard. I got people around me, man. They are preaching. All the guys that I was teaching, they're preaching hard now. They used to be a little bit afraid. Now that I'm in jail, they're bold. They're bringing it. They're preaching. God has a plan. Can I get a witness on that? God's got a plan in your life. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love the Lord? He will take all the challenges of your life and mold you and shape you and have it work for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Roki's got a challenge talking about doing the step study for Celebrate Recovery. Guess what? That challenge is going to result in what? Opportunity. People coming around him, rising up. Amen? And I'm going to rise up. Jump on board. Christ coming out of me. Hallelujah. Talk about George. Need for ice. That's our target. Ice. Got that new ice machine. And you know what? Those things. You got to plumb them. And when you plumb and Mike, we love the Simpsons, but they had taken Mike away last week. I had to plumb it myself, figure it out. Got different kind of hoses, different sizes, all kinds of stuff. You got to plumb it in, and then you got to plumb it out because these ice machines that make water, and the water got wastewater. You got water coming in, pump going out, all that kind of stuff. Got that thing plumbed. All excited. Plugged that baby in Monday night. And it wasn't getting real cold off the bat. I just left it plugged in. Called George the next morning. George goes, did you get me an ice machine or did you get me an oven? Because this thing is hot inside, man. I said, unplug it. And it's like the target is not in sight, man. We've got no ice happening. I'm like, oh. But he began a good work, is going to complete it, amen? And every trial, he's going to use that. If you're called according to, he's going to use it according to his good purpose, amen? All right, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Praise the Lord. But what does it matter? It mattered to George. It mattered to me on that ice. I'll tell you what. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, from false motives, false motives or true, that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, can I get a witness on that? Your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And Paul is sitting there writing this letter to the church in Philippi. He's in Rome, there in Philippi. It's a long way. I know it's coming. I got good things on the way. Amen. Can you do that when you're in the midst of challenge? Rogue, you do that in the midst of, man, I got to do this study. It's going to be hard. It's going to cost money. It's going to do it. I know it's coming. Why? Because God has called me to something bigger than me. Amen. And Paul's saying, I know what's coming. Deliverance is on the way. There are two sources for this deliverance. One is the prayer of the Philippian church. We're praying for you. Everybody's going to pray for Roki now, right? Amen? 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 We've been praying for Aaron right there. Praying for Lisa's knee. Gene Bell, back in the hospital, came out too soon. Praying for Gene. Can I get a witness on that? See, what happens is as you begin to pray for Gene and pray for Aaron and pray for Celebrate Recovery, you end up lifting those things up before the Lord, and you end up lining yourself up on the Lord. And you line up on the Lord, He lines up on you. There's an intimacy that happens between you and God that begins to overflow into that thing that you are lifting up in prayer. Jesus says, man, you come into agreement on anything, you have it. That's a good thing. Can I get a witness on it? We can agree. You know what? We don't know how we should pray for CR. But we can just lift it up and say, Lord, you're doing something. Work a miracle here. Amen? Second avenue. First one's prayer. Second avenue of His deliverance is the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yes.
Holy Spirit comes into your life, transforms you, guides you into truth, gives you gifts, gives you power, internal transformation, but there is external power as well. Acts chapter 4, verses 31, the disciples were praying. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. There is power by the Holy Spirit, and all those present were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, man, my deliverance is on the way. And you know, Paul got busted out of jail by the Lord many times. He got busted out of jail, Acts chapter 16, in Philippi. The Philippian jailer and his whole household get saved as a result of the Holy Ghost shaking the whole jail and busting open all the doors. And he and his family provide a foundation for the church in Philippi. The church of Philippi, guys, we know how to pray. Oh, man, the Lord can get Paul right. Paul, the Lord can shake Rome and just bust them doors right open. They had experienced Paul's deliverance. And Paul writes this letter with great anticipation. My deliverance is on the way. How have you experienced God in your life? How much confidence do you have that He is going to complete that work in you? Amen?
Amen?
See, Jesus comes in. He's not just coming in to come in. He is coming in because He wants to do something through you. Jesus comes in. Jesus comes out. And people should be seeing it. Amen? All right, here we go. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. But I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. He doesn't know what he's going to choose, but he does know that the future is full of hope. He knows that things are going to work out. Paul is in prison. His life is on the line. He could be executed, could be crucified, could be stoned, could be drowned, could be beat, could be whipped. There is challenge that faces Paul. And he's saying, I hope I'm not going to turn my back on the Lord. I trust I'm not going to turn my back on the Lord. I trust I am not going to be shamed, and that I will not shame the Lord. Greek word there is, I eagerly expect and hope. That speaks of forward leaning. I eagerly expect. He's leaning forward with his shoulders and with his head. It is like a runner that is running. I expect. I am confident of this. That I am looking at this challenge, but there is going to be more on the other side. And I just expect, and I'm leaning into this challenge to find that victory that is awaiting me. That victory that is awaiting the gospel. That victory that is awaiting for you, the church in Philippi. That victory that is awaiting us, church in City Heights. That in our lives, that as we come to a challenge and celebrate recovery, or we come with a challenge and a newborn child, or I met a woman the other day, had two twins, 1.5 years old. You ladies, how many ladies want to sign up for twins, 1.5, yeah. Oh, yeah? Be fun for a day. I'll go for a grandparent of twins, 1.5 years old, because then you can, like, parent for a day. Go, I'm tired. Take them back. Leaning ahead into that trial, leaning ahead, straining ahead. Paul lives in expectation. Paul says, Jesus in me, Jesus coming out. I am trusting, I am believing that this trial's not going to stop him from coming out. I'm preaching to the guards. I'm preaching every chance I get. It's a battle. Battle means you got an opponent. He says, I'm believing I'm not going to be ashamed. And there's this element of doubt. There's an element of faith. And your faith will keep you grabbing onto the Word of God. Your faith will keep you grabbing onto the Holy Spirit. That as you lean into those challenges, God, I am confident of this, that you began a good work in me. And you're going to finish it, that you have invested the cross in me. And the cross is going to come out of me. Amen. Glory to your name. There's also the aspect of reward here, folks. He's going, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know that heaven is on the way. Can I get a witness on that? Heaven is looking good. I'll take it. I'll take that shot. Writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. Paul's got his eye on the target. Back to our target. We got a target of ice. And phrase number one is dead. There ain't no ice coming. Just a bunch of work going in and nothing coming out. And so I'm looking around on Craigslist. There's another ice machine up in UTC. Hey, there we go. And come back and plumb that baby, set it up. It's got different hoses and different everything. Plug it in. And George says, hey, we got ice. I'm like, yes. But I come in and that ice is melting as fast as it's being made. And there's all this water backed up in my ice machine. It's really cold water, but we don't want cold water. We want ice. Looking so good. And I think, wait a minute. There's an outlet pump on the busted one.
the heater pump, the oven ice maker. And it's a different make, and I'm going to pull that pump out. I'm going to hook it up onto this one. It's kind of sticking out the back, but I plug that bad boy in, and it starts pumping, and the wastewater starts coming out. And I'm telling you today that you open that thing up, and it is filled with ice. Amen? See, he will begin a good work in you. Right? He wants ice coming out. He wants a cross coming out of you. He puts a cross in, and there's challenges that come your way, and the cross is going to be coming out. Amen? Amen. Stick with it. He said, I'm confident, man. I got the target is humming. Hallelujah. All right. Desire for heaven. Third point. Wow. I don't know if I'm long or Pastor Scott was long, but are we okay? Anybody want some ice after church? You can have a cube on us. That's okay. Paul says, I'm torn between the two. It's like I'm standing in a vice, man. I got heaven over here, and I got labor over here, and I'm just squeezed. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Man, I want to be out of here. I want to go. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know. Would you say, I know? I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. You know, he don't say nothing. I'm going to stay for me. I'm going to stay because God's going to do. No, he's saying, I'm going to stay for you. You know what that is? That's agape. That's sacrificial love. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. Paul's desire is for heaven, man. Get me out of here, God. Get out of jail free. Yeah, I'll take that. Not for Paul. I know I got to stick around. Not headed there yet. Looking at death. Looking at conviction. I'm going to get delivered, and I'm coming back to Philippi. And I'll get some work done with you guys. How's he convinced? How does Paul know? What he has is knowledge of God. What he has is depth of insight. He says, I know how God rolls. And I know, looking at what's going on with all these churches that I started, that he's not done with me yet. As much as I would like to go home, as much as I would like to retire, as much as I would like to just put my feet up, I am not done yet. He's saying to the church in Philippi, oh, I wish that what? You could have knowledge. That you could have depth of insight to ascertain what is best. Paul models this in his life. Paul knows the heart of God. And he's praying that we could get it, that we could understand it. Rather than rescue, Paul is looking at release. Right back into the job. Right back into work, work, work. Christ coming in, Christ going out. Amen? Amen? All right, last thing we're going to look at. Make sure your love is abounding. Whatever happens, see, he's going, this is what he's going to do. And he says, this is what I want you to do, because I'm doing it. Make sure that you conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. You know, our citizenship is in heaven, amen? We got to go by the rules of heaven. I know we got to, can I go for a minute? Is that okay? You know, people wonder why the church just doesn't just get up and vote in a president. Well, our job is suffering. Our job is to turn the other cheek. Our job, our citizenship is more than the United States. No, the United States is good. But I'm telling you, all the people that were in the debate, I mean, I like Huckabee. He's a preacher, man. Only one thing going to cure this country when Jesus comes back. Amen. There's only one thing going to cure this country. Jesus coming back. Our citizenship is higher. And that's why the church doesn't show. Like, man, I don't play that game. I got a higher game. I got a higher calling. Jesus coming in, Jesus going out. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I like Ben Carson, man. That guy can preach a little bit. I like that. Yeah, he's set free. Hallelujah. All right, I'm sorry. That was just, is that okay? It was like 1 minute, right? Okay, here we go. Now, I want you to vote, but study on your vote. I didn't vote last time. Neither of the people that were running, I could vote for. I have gone so far as to write my own name down. I haven't won yet, but okay, anyway. Oh, it's the mayor, yeah. And there's a big old write in there. It's me. No, it wasn't that. Yeah, it was, I don't know who it was. But anyway, he goes, all right, let's just get right back into the word here. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you. Say granted. On behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Get your Bible open. See Pastor Scott underlining that. Underline that. Make sure your love is abounding. Make sure that what you got happening on the inside is visible on the outside. There will be ample opportunity. Christ is in you. Christ should be coming out of you. Cross going in, suffering going in. 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. That's where you get turn the other cheek. That's where you get pray for your enemies. That's where you get go the extra mile. Suffering. It has been granted to you. We don't like that part. The word there, the Greek word, is charizomai. You've maybe heard of charisma, charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Go, oh, yeah. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we're Pentecostal. Well, one of those gifts is suffering. It has been charizomai to you to suffer. Gift from God. This is also visible in the life, or should be visible in the life of the believer. Christ goes in, Christ comes out. He talked about it. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Christ goes in, Christ comes out. Is he coming out of you? You can play, Lisa. I see a lot of Jesus coming out. Roki last week. Got a problem, Pastor Bob. Got an issue. And that problem was just Christ trying to come out. You know what I see this week? Christ coming out of Roki. I see Christ coming out of so many of you. Maybe you come in here this morning. You came in alone. No Holy Ghost to help you. You have been flying alone for so long. And the Lord this morning is telling you, heaven is not in your future. Not the way you are. Talking all day about Christ in you and Christ coming out. Christ isn't even in you. And this morning you can say, Lord, I don't want to live alone anymore. You died on the cross for me, Lord. Take that cross, bring it into me.
Let me be transformed. Pastor Scott talked about your sacrifice on the cross, your body given for me, your blood shed for me. I didn't know what it meant, but Lord, you have made it clear this morning. Coming here this morning, you're all alone. Don't have Christ in you. Nobody looking around. Would you pray? Just bow your head. The Lord right now is speaking to you. I don't know who you are, but the Lord does. The Lord's just been speaking to you all morning. He says you're alone. You don't have to be alone anymore. I died on the cross for you. You can ask me, and I will come into your life and transform you. Nobody looking around. God's just speaking right to your heart this morning. And that's you. That's you. You hear God's voice this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me. That's me this morning. Back over here, somebody else say, that's me. Over here, somebody else say, that's me. Right here, yeah. Somebody else, that's me. I don't want to be alone anymore. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I want Jesus in the side. Right back there, I see your hand. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me this morning. Lord, I don't want to be alone anymore. Right there, yeah. Come in here this morning and you got Jesus in you, but man, life is so complicated. Not a whole lot of Jesus coming out. You need some wisdom. You need some knowledge. You need some depth of insight. It's so hard, Lord. Pastor, help me out here. We help you out, man. You want to get some wisdom? You want to get some knowledge, some depth of insight? Come to church. Come on Wednesday night, Pastor Paul, teaching up a storm. Come on Monday. Celebrate recovery. Teach you how to deal with the drama in your heart. Get some wisdom, man. Get some depth of insight. This is how you quit trashing your life. Because you can have the love of Christ in you and you can still be a knucklehead. That's, I think, Hebrew. It means he who beats his head against his knuckles. Don't do that anymore. Maybe that's you this morning saying, yeah, you know, I know the Lord, but I'm not in the Word. I'm not in prayer. I make church maybe 2-3 times a month on a good month. And other stuff, man. I got to do laundry. I got to wash my car. I got to watch the Charger game. I got to do all these things. I can't just make time for God. Jesus trying to get in. Jesus trying to get out. Paul says, I pray knowledge, depth of insight, that you might be able to choose what's best and be blameless. You got Christ in you, people ought to see it. You're here this morning and you're not trying real hard. You know the Lord. Been there a long time, and you just kind of give them a little off the edge, a little off the side. Got a little spare. It's like tithe comes by, throw in a dollar. Here's a dollar, Lord. Dollar barely even buy you soda anymore. That's all you're giving to the Lord. Not going to get you very far. But it's indicative of what you give him with your life. Pray that. Wisdom, that you would just open your mind to the Word, the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you, and come and get around God's people. I tell you, I can't promise it, but you might start looking almost as good as Tommy from the inside out. Can I get a witness? Amen? And maybe you are here, and there are many of you that are here, man. You are taking steps. You got Jesus pouring out. You're going, oh, Lord, it's hard. Paul just says, keep it up. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Because one day Jesus is coming back. And there's going to be a celebration. Can I get a witness on that? Stand with me. We're going to sing. Worship team is coming. Look at this right here. Look at this man. Wait, come here. Look at that. One day, I'll look this good. Praise the Lord. All righty. Let's sing. God is good. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Amen.